Okay, so we're on Daf Tzadi Tet today. So if you remember in yesterday's Daf, we missed you last night, Rafi, I think. But in yesterday's Daf, all right, in yesterday's Daf, we mentioned a question. This is around 10 lines from the bottom, on Tzadi, from the top, on Tzadi Chedem Adal, page 186, was Ibai Luhu Amar Lei Zavin Li Litcha V'Azal V'Zavin Li Kura. If a principal says to his agent, I want you to sell Litcha, Litcha is a half a kur of land. Kur is a large area of land. And of course, like a measure of volume as well. It's like you'd say, sell, not that it's the same fear, like sell half an acre. This is Basel, Zab, and Likur. And he spends like an acre. So my, what's the halach in that case? Most of the bar of Rubalikami economy, is he just merely adding on to the original structure instructions? So we could say that the original sale is good. The extra part's no good, but he just added on. He says, Odilma Mavir al Dvaravu. Or perhaps we could say he violated the instructions and there's no sale at all. You got the question? Everybody good? Okay. So then the Gemara is 7 lines from the bottom on Tzadi Chedem Beis, page 196. So the Gemara tries to bring a proof to this from our Mishnah. We did this Mishnah yesterday. I'm sorry you weren't here, Rafi, but Tashma, Haitak Ketubah Tamana, if a woman's ketubah was a mana, 100 zuz means she was not a betula when she married, presumably. Umachra Shavamana Vedinar. So the way we explained the Mishnah originally, which I'm going to explain now, she took a piece of land that was worth 101 zuz, or worth more than 100 zuz, and sold it for 100 zuz, mikra batel. So the sale is void. The sale is void because she undersold the property, and the principals could say, I sent you to help me out, not to mess me up. So therefore, it's batel. So the Gemara, though, understands the Mishnah a little differently. My love, desavin shavaman of a dinar, is it not, the case of Mishnah is differently than why I explained it, that she sold a piece of property that's worth 101 zuz, and she sold it for 101 zuz. So she sold the property for its true value, but it was worth more than her ksuba. Umay b'mana, what does it mean that she sold it for mana? He says, b'mana shalah. She sold it in order to satisfy the outstanding debt on her ksuba, which was one mana. Umay afilu, and then Mishnah says that even if she says I'm going to return the dinar to you, he says my afilu he omerit achzir a dinar the yorshim the dinar mekarkai. It's more of a chiddush. Not just I'll give you a dinar to the yorshim, I'll buy back a dinar's worth of land from the purchaser and I'll give it to the yorshim. So I'll make everything good. Even if she says all that, but we learned in the Mishnah that sale is void. So if the pshat in the Mishnah is the way we just said it, so lechora. She, in other words, she as if was authorized by the Tohim to sell 100 zuz worth of land, and she sold 101 zuz worth of land. In other words, she sold more land than she was authorized to sell. And even though she says, I'll straighten everything out, the Tana Mishnah says, the sale is void. So if that's the Pshat, then we have an answer to our question. So if a person was authorized to sell a Lekach and he sells a Kur, so is he Mosif or is he Mavir? So the horror from this Mishnah, it sounds like he's mavir. He's violating the instructions, and the sale is void. That's what we think. So two lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Natan lo b'da Oziel. Rav Huna, son of Rav Natan, said, no, that's not the pshat in the Mishnah. The pshat in the Mishnah is that she undersold, undercharged for the property. Not the way I just said, the way I explained it originally when I did the Mishnah, when I began today's daf, that it was a property that was worth 101 zuz, and she sold it for 100 zuz. So since she's underselling the property, therefore the Yorshim say, you know, the tikuni stratika v'lelavati, we sent you to do, help us out, not to mess us up. You're messing us up. So therefore you violate the terms of the shlichus, but it has no, doesn't bear on the issue that we were discussing earlier. So look on the top line inside the Kedem Alpha, and I'll pause in 10 lines. So the Gemara says, how the safe of the Oziel, the range of the low Oziel. The Gemara says, wait. The last case, we have basically three cases in the Mishnah. The last case in the Mishnah is clearly a case of undercharging. So if the last case in the Mishnah is undercharging, the earlier case wouldn't be the same thing. Because we don't think the Tana would teach me the same thing twice. How so? The Tani Sefer, because we learn in the Sefer of the Mishnah, the last case of the Mishnah, I talked to the Tarvios, if her ksuba was for 400 zuz, like a humongous ksuba, and then she sells four parcels of land. Each parcel of land is 100 zuz. So Machrad Zevamana Zevamana, she sells to A for mana, the parcel A. Then parcel B, she sells to B for mana. And then doesn't say here, but parcel C, she also sells for mana. So she sold off 300. Ula Afron, Yafamina Badinar, Yafamana Badinar, Bimana. So in the last parcel, she undercharges. the property is worth 100 runzuz, he sells it for 100 zuz. Shel achron mikra batel. So in reference to the last transaction, the sale is null and void because she undersold it. Yeah. But shel kulan mikra batel. But all the other previous transactions are good. So if the pshat in the Mishnah is the way that I just said at Lahora, it doesn't, then the proof would be reinstated because it doesn't make sense. The Mishnah would be teaching me two cases of undercharging. So I have one case of undercharging. Then Lahora, the earlier case would be the way we said that she was selling it at value, but she sold more than she was authorized to. Then we have a proof that she's mavir al devareha, that Lahora, that's the way we think. So the Gemara says on line 5, lo, reisha v'seifa v'da'oza. No, that's not true. The Reisha and the Seifa are the Oziel, meaning both of those cases, when it says Reisha, it means like the middle case, which is the one we did earlier, and the Seifa are where she undercharged. The Seifa HaKamash Balan. But the Chiddush of the Seifa is as follows. Tama the Oziel, the Diatman. The reason that the Mecher is Batel is she undercharged on the account of the Yitomim, meaning the Yitomim, like boiling down to the simplest element, they owe her 400 Zuz. Let's say they owe her on account 400 Zuz. So the last transaction, she undercharged, the property was worth 101 zuz. It doesn't have to be 100 zuz. It means the property was worth more than 100 zuz. And she undercharged to it. So she undercharged on the account of the Yitomim. This is Abba B'dido, Mifra Kayam. But the implication of the Mishnah is that had she undercharged on one of the earlier transactions, in other words, parcel A, B, or C, let's say she had undercharged there. So even though the property is worth 101 or 110 or 150, and she sells it for 100, there the transaction would be a valid transaction, but she would have to give the Yorshim credit for it. In other words, there's an account, a running account between both of them. In other words, they owe her 400 zuz. So if it's on her own account that it's undercharging, then that's a valid transaction. Because in other words, they owe her 400 zuz. So the first three, until you get to the 400 zuz, if she undercharges, that goes on her account. She undercharged, but you know we're going to charge you for the undercharging. There's a credit. So the Gemara wants to say, so therefore I could say that both instances are teaching me with the Oziel. In other words, Inatanami, when she undercharges the Mecher is null and void, and what was the expression on the Gemara? The Mecher is back datel, but the last case has a finish with it. So the Gemara says, Hamid Reisha Shabbat Nina, but the Gemara says, that finish I know from the Reisha, from the first case of the Mishnah. He says, what's the first case? Everybody focus. I talked to Batamatayim, Umachra Shabbat Mana Bamatayim. Yeah, I'm sorry. I talked to Batamatayim, Umachra Shabbat Mana b'matayim. Right. So her ksuba was worth 200 zuz, and she took a parcel of land that's worth 100 zuz and sold it for 200. That's not the case we need. Oshava matayim b'mana. Or this is the case we do need. She took a piece of property that was worth 200 zuz, and she sold it for 100 zuz. Nikabla ksubata. So she has accepted payment for the ksuba. So she took a property that was worth 200 zuz. She sells it for 100 zuz, notwithstanding the fact that she undersold. Nevertheless, the mecher is kayim. It's a valid sale, and we see that it's on her account. So it's on her account that it's to satisfy her the amount that they do. So if that's the case, I don't need the last case to see from the chiddush because I know it from the first case. And I'll just do a few more lines, and we'll pause. We'll summarize. We'll see everything. Okay, welcome, Daniel. So the Gemara says line 10 on 10 without. So ma'u detema. So the Gemara says no. Even if the Mishnah had written. Even though the Mishnah has written all these cases, but in the first case, I would say, Hatam who did in the first case, you're right, she did undersell a piece of property, and in Athinami, she's going to give them a credit for her underselling and take responsibility, but at the sale, she's done with them. In other words, Gemara, no further relationship with the atonement. I sold off the property, my ksuba was paid off, Lahitra, etc. He says here, Aval Hapa. But in the last case, where she got the 400 zuz and selling a parcel, even if she undersold parcel A, and in Achinami, she has a running account with them, he says, Nigzor mana rishon atamana achron. It has more of a chiddush. I would think that notwithstanding the fact that she undersold parcel A, and she'll give the credit to the Yorshim, I would think that I should make Zerah and say the Mecher is not Kayim. The Mecher is not a valid Mecher because I'm afraid that she'll undersell parcel number 4, in which case it's not Kayim. Tamash Malon. So for the Tana teaching the other ways. Okay, let me just summarize what we did and then bring Daniel up to date and everybody review, and then we'll take it from there. We'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay. So the issue we've been dealing with is if a principal authorizes the sale of a small parcel of land, a lechach. A lechach is half a tour, and the shliach sells more than he was authorized to do. So do we say that the sale vis-a-vis the lechach is, in other words, he was authorized to sell half an acre land, so instead he sells a whole acre land. So do we say, well, he did a valid transfer of the half acre that he was authorized to do? Do I say that? Because he was just mostly father barak, just adding to what the principal said. So he did what the principal said and then a little bit more. Or do I say that he was he's mavir al-dabarav? He violated the instructions and it's a zero, it's a nullity. That's the question we dealt with. So the Gemara tried to bring a proof from our Mishnah, and the Gemara interpreted the Mishnah. This was the middle case of the Mishnah. The Gemara interpreted it that if she had a parcel of land that was worth 101 zuz and she sold it for 101 zuz, even though she offered to buy back one zuz of land and give it to the Yorshim, that the Mecher is batel. The Mecher is batel. So we think that's the case. In other words, it's as if you tell them authorized to sell a piece of land for 100 zuz, and she sells 101 or more than 101. She sells more land. So then clearly, if that's the Pshat in the Mishnah, then we have a proof. We have a proof that when you sell more land than you're authorized to do, you're violating the instructions and it's Mecher batel. That was the proof. So the Gemara said, no, the Pshat in the Mishnah doesn't mean that way. The Pshat in the Mishnah means that she took the 101 zuz land and undersold it for 100 zuz, and because she undersold it, she's not authorized to undersell land, and then the Mecher is batel. And then the Gemara got into things, you know, do I have other cases where she's underselling and she is underselling another case, another, but each one has a finite. And so at the end of the day, the author was, you know, backed by the that said that she's ma the bareha is that that was shlugged up. Okay, who's your questions? Comes to us. Okay, what's up, Daniel?
Hi.
Wait, one second, turn Daniel's door.
Come and punish her, take this from her. End of the day, they tell him get whatever it is that they need to
get. Yeah, but the Gemara, no, the Gemara is not saying that.
Why?
Way. Again, so first the question is, what is the fact category? But in other words, the issue is the agent authorized to make the transaction? That's what it boils down to. Is the agent authorized to act? And I can't go to your property and sell your property. You didn't authorize me to sell your property. So is the agent authorized to sell the property? So where she undersells the property, she sells it for less than it's worth. So there, she's not authorized to do that because the principal says, "Latikuni shdarti kabbalu lavati." I sent you to help me out, not to mess me up, and you mess me up by underselling it. That's what the Mishnah says, but the fixing up doesn't help. Okay, what's up, Fern?
Is she a shaliach? In other words, she's doing it for her benefit.
Right. We view her as acting as a shliach on behalf of the Yitomim, even though she's a beneficiary. We view her as if they had appointed her as a shliach. Okay, what's up?
The other issue is, though, I'm not done.
Okay, she's not done.
How do you work it out? I mean, you can't sell metaltolin, you have to sell karka. And how can you match it up so that each piece of karka is exactly what it needs to be? It's a difficult puzzle to put together.
Well, I don't know. I imagine that you can have the property appraised before you do the sale. That would be the first step, frankly, to have the property appraised.
But often is a property 100 or 200 mana or 400?
You know, or sell a smaller piece of property, or if the Yitomim say we're authorizing to sell even a larger piece of property, that would also get out of it. What's up, Rafi? Who said that? No. That's not exactly what the Mishnah said. We weren't here when we did this Mishnah. The Mishnah said that if she.
That's what she's supposed to.
If she if the property was worth 200 zuz, but she sells it for 100, then that's it. But here we're not talking where it's worth 200. The property's worth 50 or whatever, 100, and then or if the ksuba is 100, so the property's worth 50. That's your point. So then it's just 50. It's going to be satisfied. Okay, I need to move on. I apologize, but I want to make sure we get through the doc. Okay, and then we'll pause again a little bit. Okay, so. All right, back in the Gemara, we're around 10 lines, 15 lines down on Sati Tevonel. Okay, now the Ika de Amri, others say that the conversation in the base matters went down differently than we said up till now. He says, the Ika de Amri, Halo Tibailach, Echa de Amalek, Zil Zabimli Litfil, Zabimli Kura, Devade Mosnifa Devoravavi. So in this Lashon, the Gemara takes it that if an agent sells more than he, the agent, was authorized to sell, definitely, it's just mostly Pal Devarav. He's adding, and it was that which we were Mesupak in the first Lashon. In the second Lashon, it's clear that if you sell more than you authorized, then you're Mosif. So the sale is effective vis-a-vis Letech. So if I authorize you to sell Letech and you sell a Kur, so then Letech is good. He's mostly Pal Devarav. But the question the Gemara has, the Amar Leizil is not in the Kur, the other way around. Let's say the Mishaleach says, I want you to sell a Kur. Well, I'm going to say an acre. A kur, I think, is maybe even larger than an acre. But he says, I'm authorizing you to sell an acre. And then he sells half an acre. Yeah, my. So what's the luck in that case? So do we say that the shaliach who sold less land than he was authorized to sell could say to the mishaleach, listen, I did you a favor. Had I followed your instructions, and then you didn't, in other words, the Gemara assumes that people generally prefer to have land and that they only sell land because they need money. So he says, look, had I followed your instructions and then you didn't need the money, you'd be up a creek because the land is all sold. So this way I sold like in bite-sized pieces. I sold half land. And then if you need more money, you sell the other half of the land. So I'm doing you a tova. Maybe you don't need to sell it and then you can keep half the land. Oh, so in that case, then that would sound like that it would be a good sale. Oh, Dilma, or perhaps on the other side, perhaps the Mishaleach could say, I don't like it that I have two shtarot. In other words, I don't have all these, shtar mechira. In other words, I don't have a sale for half land and another sale for the half land. So the Rishonim go to great lengths to try to figure out what does the Gemara mean that he's not happy with all the shtarot, but one explanation, which is brought down in Tosos and Amud Beis, I didn't look at Tosos, but I saw it in the Masechta Gemara. He said that when a person is like selling lots of land, so people think he needs money, and as a result of that, they don't give him as much money. And it was like, right, in other words, when you see a person desperate, you know, like, right. Sadly enough, that's the way people do. So he says, I don't want to have like this reputation. I'm selling land left and right. So you didn't do me a tova with this. So in which case, he's not authorized to do it. So that's the question. So we're 15 lines on the bottom. Rebbe Chanina says, we're going to try to bring a proof from Mishnah Masechet Me'ilah. And we had a Mishnah Masechet Me'ilah yesterday as well. He says, and Tashma, Natan lo dinar shel zahav. The principal gives a dinar of zahav to an agent, to a shliach. And it's they don't realize it at the time, but the dinar is hekdesh. He says, Ba'amarlo, and he, the Mishnah, says, Abedi chaluk, I want you to take this gold and purchase a shirt for me. Now, again, the dinar zahav consists of six lines. He says, Vahalakhidu b'shlosh chaluk b'shlosh talib. Instead, he went off and he spent half the money or half the value on buying a shirt and half the value on buying a talib, a cloak. So the Tana Mishnah says they both, and then it turns out this was hekdesh. So they both have committed an act of mi'ila, a wrongful taking from hekdesh. So again, we went over, I don't know if you were here or when I spoke of it, that by mi'ila is the exception. We say there is shlichus, even though it's usually in shlichus tvar aveira. But by mi'ila, the Gemara learns out from psukim, there is shlichus. If you do what my instructions are, then it's attributable to me, the mishaleah. So the Gemara says, "Iyami b'shleim shliach yihaygavno sishlichuto mosif al devar habay." So if I say, in other words, we're taking again, this is like the I authorize you to sell a field instead of you sell half the field. So is that a good sale? So here I authorize you to spend all six slime of this money on a shirt. Instead you spend three slime on the shirt and three slime on the talit. So you're spending less money on the shirt than I authorized you, but you did buy the shirt. So he says, so here, if I say that he's doing a shlichus and he's mostly father barev, that he's doing a shlichus and he's adding on to it, nishumhafi balabai mal. So it makes sense the balabai says committed an act of ila because he did part of what he did was the instructions from the balabas, even though it wasn't entirely all of it. But if I assume that when I sell less, in this case, I transfer less than you had instructed me to transfer, then I'm violating your instructions and I'm not doing my shlichus, so my shlichus is terminated. Am I mal? So then why is the balabas had committed me'ilah? So the fact that the Mishnah me'ilah says that the balabas has committed me'ilah, even when I spend less money than he authorized me to spend, that sounds like if I authorize, you know, for a larger amount, then you sell the lower amount, like you transfer the lower amount. In other words, it's like where they're transferring land, I'm transferring the gold. Gold goes out, shirt comes in, land goes out, money comes in, but it's a transfer. So if I transfer less than you authorized, it sounds like from this Mishnah that I'm just mostly father borrow. I'm adding on top of what you did, but I'm not ma'avir on Devar. I'm not violating your words, because otherwise it would be no liability on the part of the balabas, of the mishaleah. So the Gemara deflects this proof as well. The Gemara says, no, the case in the Mishnah is that he was able to get a shirt that was normally valued at 6 slayim, but he got it at a discount for 3 slayim. So he did entirely what the Mishaleah had asked him to do. The Mishaleah said, get a shirt for 6 slayim, but he found a discounted shirt, but it was normally sold for 6 slayim, but he got it for 3 slayim. That's where the balabas is hired. So we don't, if that's the case, we don't have a proof for our issue. But ihati shliach amayimal. So if that's the case, why has the shliach committed an act of me'ilah? The Gemara assumes right now that if a mishaleach sends me to buy something and I get it at a discount, then he'd be happy if I spent the extra money on something else for him. And here, with the extra money, he bought a cloak, the talis. So why is the shliach committing an act of me'ilah? Lechora, he's doing everything that the mishaleach sent him to. So the Gemara says not talis. So the Gemara says that the shliach is chayav for the talis. So the Gemara revises his understanding and says, no, that but the shliach is only authorized to buy what he was authorized to do, and that which he did on his own, so he's liable for that. Now, so again, so we tried to bring a proof to our issue from this Mishnah Masechet Me'ilah, but the way we explain the Mishnah Masechet Me'ilah, there is no proof, because it's not a case of, you know, selling or, you know, doing less than you were authorized to do. He's doing exactly what he was authorized to do. So it's not probative of what we were seeking. So the Gemara says, "Ihachim etseifa." If this is in fact the shot in the beginning of the Mishnah, let's do the end of the Mishnah and see how that plays out. So the Mishnah, the end of the Mishnah says, 5 lines from the bottom, "Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Achbazeh Balabai Lomaal." That even in that instance where he bought the shirt at a discounted rate of 3 shloim, the Balabas is not committed that to Megillah. Neshe Cholomar, because he, the Balabas, could say to the shaliach, I wanted to buy a big shirt. He bought me a small shirt and an inferior quality. So my ra, what does an inferior quality mean? So we said the pshat was that he got just as good a quality, but for 3 slayim, that was the pshat we said to deflect the proof. But from the end of the Mishnah, it doesn't sound that way, because Rabbi Yehuda says that in this instance, that the Mishnah could say, you bought me like a scrawny, lousy shirt. So the Gemara says, Rab Tamim. It means that I don't like it that you bought this shirt on a discount. Why? The Amarle, because the Mishleach could say the Shliach, yeah, I'd leave a shit. If you had purchased it for 6 slayim, which is what I had asked you to do, he says, Kol Shekein to have a Shabbat party straight. Certainly it would have been worth, and someone would say even more than 12. In other words, if you buy like pay full price, they give you a little bit more for your money. So right, so I would I don't like the rates that you had done it with. So, but it's not undermining original pshat. Our pshat is correct, but he's saying I'm not happy with what you did. So the Gemara says, "Dekanami dekatani." We could deduce this from a careful reading of the Mishnah. He says this looks like this Tosefta from a Braisa before it was a Mishnah. He says, Motor Rabbi Yehuda, that's Tana Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a Mishaleach wants the Shliach to spend the full money on the item, but he's Motor Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda agrees, but kidney, when it comes to legumes, beans, Shishneim Alu, if he's spending the gold that he's spending was going to Hekdesh, so he's misappropriating money from Hekdesh. He says, but kidney, Shishneim Alu, if he went and he bought kidney which is the legumes at a discount, then the both commit an akamila. Turn page. The kidney besela, the kidney bepruta. Because when it comes to kidney, it's always the same price. In other words, same price per unit, whether you buy a little bit of kidney or a lot of kidney. So so whatever you get, it's the same thing. Shmamina. So from here, we could deduce that indeed that is the correct shot. So hechidami, what's the case? I'll just do a few more lines and I'll pause. Ilayim v'atra the mezamni b'shuma. If we say it's locality where they estimate like how much kidney you're taking, hechidiyayiv le'sela mostly gabetvei. But then if you would buy a seller worth of kidney, they give you a discount for it if everything is being estimated. So Amara Papa, Rapapa says, but Atra the Kaili Bikani. It's talking about a locality where they measure everything by the measuring cup. Kani could be like a small cup. He says the Amarle that the seller says to the buyer, Kana Kana Bapruta. Each Kana costs a pruta. So if you buy one Kana is one pruta, two pruta, two Kana is three prutot, and so forth, then a seller you get even more. So anyway, let's just summarize what we did. Then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, so in this version of the Gemara takes it that this Lashon is taking it, that indeed, if somebody said to sell the smaller parcel of land, the Leta, and he sells the Kur, definitely Mosif al Devarav. There's no question this Lashon that you're Mosif on Devarav and the original transaction is an effective transaction. But in this Lashon, the question is, where the seller authorizes you to sell a larger, you know, area of land, like a kur, and you take it upon yourself to send a leta. So in that instance, is that a valid sale or not? On the one hand, the Mishleya can say, I did you a favor by doing this, so it's not hurting you by selling the land in small parcels, it's helping you. This way, maybe you don't need the money, and then you won't sell the second half. Or, on the other hand, the Mishleya could say to the Shaliach, you messed me up. I don't want to have all these shtarot that I gave a shtar to Reuven, a shtar to Shimon, and then the way the Tosfos is understanding it, you know, people think I'm desperate for money, won't be able to get like a good sales price. Anyway, that was the question. So the Gemara brought from the Mishnah Masechet Me'ilah, we thought to bring a proof. The Mishnah Masechet Me'ilah says, if a Baal Abbas says to a Shaliach, here's a dinar shel zahav, a golden dinar, which is worth six slaim. I want you to take this golden dinar and buy me a chaluk with it, you know, presumably for six slaim. And instead, the Shaliach goes and he buys a chaluk, but he buys it for three slaim, and he buys, with the other three slaim, he buys a talis, all for the Mishaliach. So the Mishnah says that the Baal Abbas has committed Me'ilah and the Shaliach has committed Me'ilah. So the Baal Abbas has committed Me'ilah because even though he said spend six on the shirt, but he spent three on the shirt, that's like selling half the property. And Me'ilah, he followed his instructions and vis-a-vis the half, so he commits an act of Me'ilah. So if that proof would hold true, then we have our proof that if you sell less land than you're authorized to do, then it's a valid sale and you're just most fond of the bar. So the Gemara says, no, that's not the case. The case in the Mishnah is that the Shaliach bought a shirt that was normally sells for six slime, and he bought it for three slime. So he did everything that the Mishnah instructed him to do. But the Mishnah didn't tell him to take the excess and buy a talis with it. So that's his own price with it. Then the Gemara asked on it, we had a kasha from Rabbi Huda at the end of the Mishnah, but anyway, we're able to resolve everything. Okay, so far we don't have any proof one way or another. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? No. No one knew, and then they all realized the technique. What? No, it was like typically it's Bishogeg. It could be Mila Bezit also, but see here it's Bishogeg. So he didn't realize, and then he discovered it's like you ate trafus. He didn't realize you ate it, and now you know it is trafus. Okay. And
I'm going back to the original thing where he had 101 worth sold.
No. I'm not talking about that again. Let's talk about this thing that I just did now. Not going back to the previous one. This Lashon. No. This Lashon. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Any other questions? No. I don't want to hear about this right now. Okay. We're going back on the Gemara. Okay. It has to be on the sugi that we just did. Okay. Now, let's take a look. Okay. So now we're five lines from the top on Sadi Tenement Bays. Everybody all set? Right. And so far we have nothing. Now, by the way, on Shabbos, I'm going to be at 450, 450 on Shabbos. If the weather is permitting and everybody's good with it, we'll be in the sukkah, otherwise here. Okay. So Tashma, now the Gemara tries to bring a proof to our question from the same section of the Mishnah that we quoted in the previous sukkah. Tashma, I talked to the Arba Meod Zuz. If her ksuba was for 400 Zuz, Machwa Lizabamana, so she's got four parcels of land. Parcel A for 100 zuz sells it. Parcel B for 100 zuz sells it. Parcel C for 100 zuz sells it. And the last parcel, which is worth 101 zuz or worth more than 100, could be 150. Yeah. But the point is, she sells it for a mana for 100. So Acheron Batel, the last sale is Batel, is void. Michel Kulan Mechon Kayam. And the earlier ones is a valid sale. Now, the Gemara takes it like this. We're assuming, like imagine in our minds, let's say you have the Yatomim. So the Yatomim say to her, sell a parcel of land for 400 zuz, and then gabarnu. We owe you 400 zuz, take a parcel of land for 400 zuz, and sell for 400 zuz. Instead, she takes a portion of land for 100 and sells it for 100 zuz, another portion for 100 zuz, another, and the fourth one she runs into problems with. But the previous ones, she's selling less than she was authorized to sell. Which, that's our question. In other words, if somebody sells less than they're authorized to sell, are they, is that mostly, you know, adding on to what they said, you know, like deviating from the instructions, but still holding on to the instructions or not? So it sounds like that's in what you are authorized to do it. That's what it sounds like. So see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Kida Amar Rav Shisha Brei Rav Yidi Bektine, Hakanam Bektine. So the Gemara says, the case of the Mishnah is like Rav Shisha Brei Rav Yidi is going to explain at the end of the Sugya, Bektine, that they were like, they weren't contiguous pieces of property. They were separate, distinct pieces of land, small piece of land here, there, there, there. So the right, the Yatomim, you know, didn't expect her to sell it in one block. In other words, it's like here's pieces. They didn't expect her to sell it to one person. So that's not deviating. So here too. Okay. So that's the end of the sugya. We weren't able to resolve anything, and the Gemara is leaving it. Okay. Now, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far?
Orphans didn't have a $400 block to sell.
Right. That's correct. All right. All right, so all right, if they want to sell themselves, they'll sell themselves. Meanwhile, this is what they're doing, though, okay?
They introduce this idea that if you have a much larger land, it should be worth more. Here, they're just taking it, it's for rata, and then we're just going to sell it for. But if it would have been a contiguous one piece of land,
no.
They never entertained that.
The issue is we're not focusing on the valuation here. We're focusing on the authority to sell less land than you were authorized to sell. That's what we're focusing on. Okay, so the Gemara thought she's selling less land than she was authorized to sell. Nevertheless, it's a good sale. But the Gemara says it's not that they had one piece of land and they wanted to sell the one land in one fell swoop. In other words, like we said before, let's see if he says.
Titles. We want to sell all to one owner.
Yeah, so we're not going to say it that way, right? Okay, all right, let's see back in the Gemara. Now, all right, so moving to a different topic now. Say again, what? Okay. You sound like Yosef already. Okay, now, the tenth line from the top. Okay, you are. Okay, now. Okay, now, everyone, we're sitting near the small olive, pshita, okay? Pshita, that means we take it obvious, clear. Amar li'achad v'lo l'shnayim, amar li'achad v'lo l'shnayim. If the principal says, I want you to sell Greenacre to one person and not to two people, that's clear. So I'm authorizing to sell to one person, not to two people. That's very clear. He says, Amar li l'achad stam amai. What if he just says, sell it to one person? So what does that mean? He says, Rav Huna amar li'achad v'lo l'shnayim. Rav Huna says it means one person, not two people. Same as before. Rav Chisam Rav Huna damri tarvayu l'achad v'fil l'shnayim l'achad v'fil l'meyach. One, or could it be two, or could it even be 100 people? So the issue here is if a principal says to a shliach, sell it to one person, what do those words mean? Does it mean only one person, or it could be the sky's the limit? Ikhla Rav Nachman Nasura. All right, let's go slower. Okay, so Ikhla Rav Nachman Nasura. So Rav Nachman came to the city of Sura. Ulgabe Rav Chistav Rav Barav Huna. So Rav Chistav Rav Barav Huna came out to engage him. So Amrulay, yeah, I got in mind. They asked him, what's the halach in a situation like this? If somebody says, you know, sell it to Echad. So Amarlahu, he said to them, Lechad v'fil l'shnayim, Lechad v'fil l'meyach. One or two, one or even 100. That's it. So Amrulay, no, like Rav Chis and Rabba Barav Huna, right? Rav Chis and Rabba Barav Huna. Okay. It's interesting because it looks like Rab is disagreeing with his father. Okay, so he says, so Amrulay, now, then he says, they said to him, Afal Gabda Tar Shliach, In other words, I see you're giving a lot of power to the shliach. In other words, he could sell to one, he could sell to many. What if the shliach undersells, which we touched on earlier? He undercharges for the property. So was it still a good sale? So Amar Lahu, he says, the tashliach lo kamin. I never said if the shliach made a mistake and he undervalued the property. So Amrulay, so they said to him, Ha'amar mar, in onala karkaot, but you said there's no onah by karkaot. Onah is like price fraud by karkaot. So if the kark is like undersold or overcharged, so it's still a good sale. So how come you're saying that tashliach, all bets are off? So he says, if the balabas, he makes a mistake, yeah, then the mistake would wash it over. But if the shliach makes a mistake in valuation, I sent you to help my situation, not to mess me up. You messed me up. You acted outside the scope of your agency, so you didn't have authority to sell that way. Now, the Gemara says, where do we see that in a situation like this is a different halacha or a different, you know, range, whether you're a shaliach or a balabas? So we're going to have, the Gemara is going to connect this to a different halacha. What? I'm losing it. Wait. Shaliach can change his mind? The mishaleach. Well, no. It's not an issue of changing mind. It's saying I never instructed you to do. I told you to do A and you do C, so you're acting outside the scope of the agency. That's not what I told you to do. So that's what he's into. Okay, so let's get back to the Gemara.
What if the guy who sold it was an employee and not an agent? In other words, if I don't know
if it would make a difference. Frankly, I don't know if it would make a difference. Okay. So let's see. Or no commission here. Okay, now let's take a look. Now, okay. Didnan, okay, let's focus. Okay, now Didnan, we learn in the Mishnah, and this Mishnah is the Sefer Trumot. So we don't do Trumot in Daf Yomi, but like I say too many times, that's exactly, and Yosef knows exactly what I say. Okay, so you get a piece of everything in Daf Yomi. Okay, Didnan, we learn the Mishnah of Sefer Trumot. Omer Lishluko, if a principal says to a shliach, say utrom, I want you to take truma from me from my crops. Torim kedab alabai. So he doesn't say what shear he should take. Now, when you take truma, so typically the average would be 1/50th, generous would be 1/40th, stingy would be 1/60th. So he says go take truma, but he doesn't say how much to take. So the title of the Mishnah says Torim kedab alabai. He should evaluate what the disposition of Balabai, when he evaluates the Balabai, he thinks the Balabai is a stingy guy, so he'll do 160. He thinks a generous guy, 140. He thinks an average guy, 150. He says, if he doesn't know the Balabai so well, then he should do the middle path. You don't know, go for the middle path, 150th. Pichet Asara, Rashi takes this, Pichet Asara, if he nevertheless didn't know and he gave 140, which is a generous amount, or he did the stingy amount, 160th, truma to truma. It's still good truma. In other words, so the zone, in other words, the range for him to take truma is between, and he's a shliach, between 140th and 160th. That's his range. So the Gemara says, v'ilu gabi balabayit, but in reference to the balabas, it says, Pani, we learn in the Braisa, if the person himself took truma and he ended up taking 1/20th is much more. 1/20th would be 5%. So 1/50th would be 2%. So if he's a balabas and he ends up taking 1/20th, which is super generous, he's still a good truma. So we see that the range, the acceptable range for the balabas is much greater than for the shliach. So again, it's like the karka, like with the if the principal, you know, undersells something, so that's a good valid sale. But if the shliach undersells it, so it's not. He's got a narrower range. Okay, now we're going back though to our original topic now, which is if he has a narrower range than the balabas. In other words, if he's a shliach and he takes truma 1/20th, that's not a valid. He wasn't authorized to do that. So we're saying just in a general sense, it's like the sale. By the sale, It's a different set of halachot, but right. It's different in that way, but the sale is completely void, right.
You just wanted to give 160 against the stingy guy.
What? Say, him wait, what is the question? Say again. Which case? What is the case?
Went and he assumed he's going to come and give a generous one, and he did not want him. He said, what did you do? I don't want to give you an extra percent.
Wait, he in other words, he didn't know, and he evaluated them that he thought he was a generous guy, but he wasn't.
Right.
So yeah, that's what the Mishnah says. He's got the latitude. Okay, now let's see back in the Gemara. Well, let me get to the Mishnah, and then we'll pause, and then we'll take a breath. Okay. So the Gemara says this is going back to if somebody says le'echad, does it include even 2 and even 100 or not? That was the question we had originally. So Tashma, I talked to Ta'ar Mitzvah. Again, the Gemara keeps quoting this Mishnah. You must be, as I think it's the third time in the sugya. We had it yesterday, then today, and then today again. So Shema, I talked to Ta'ar Mitzvah. The Ketubah was for 400 Mitzvahs. Mach with the 7 mana and the 7 mana. So it sells A for 100, B for 100, C for 100. Lach on Shav mana, the dinar, the mana. Then to 4, it's worth 100 ones, which sells for mana. Shlach on Batel, the Shakulan Mechon Kayam. So the last one is Batel, but the other ones are a valid sale. So the point being that we see that, one second, again, it says, like, in other words, if a person says sell it to one person, am I authorized to sell it to 2 or 3 or 4? So here the Gemara is assuming that the Tomim, they said sell the property, like to one or whatever, and she's selling it to several people. So we had a question, does that mean? So the Mishnah sounds like you could do that, right? You could sell it to one and she's selling it to several people. So the Gemara says, this is where the statement comes up. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Shisha B'Reid Ravidi B'Ktine. So Shisha B'Reid says, here we're talking about that the properties weren't contiguous. They were one here, one there, one there. So most likely they didn't say to sell to one person. All right, let's take a look back in the Gemara, in the Midrashi rather. Tashma, I talked to B'Tav Chulei, Yapushish Dari Kepedahi, if she would be upset about having, or the sellers would be upset about having Shtarot, in other words, we should attribute such a thought to the Yitomim, whether they said explicitly or not, is what Rashi's saying. So in other words, if we'll take the side that this seems to be going back to even the earlier study. Sell to one person, right? So the Gemara wants to say that the case is incomparable here because the property wasn't all one big lump contiguous property. They were selling some small properties, so they're going to obviously sell to a number of people. Right. No proof that if you say to sell to one person, you could sell to many people. Okay. All right. Wait, what's up, Fern? What's up?
Why does it matter if you sell to one person or many people? I missed that part.
Again, so we mentioned this far in the Gemara that the person might not want to have so many shtarot. I don't want to have a sale, you know, like this parcel I'm selling to A, but this
just because it's inconvenient with the paperwork. Is that what?
No,
what
remember,
really
I mean, the different svaras we should give. Remember, I gave the svar from Tosfos. He says when a person they get that some the person selling so many pieces of property. They get the sense that he's desperate for money, and they're not going to offer him so much money for his property. All right.
All right. Normally.
Wait. Rafi, then you, Donnie. Go ahead. What? Say again. Repeat. Yeah. Well, here they're clearing out of town, so they're not going to have any neighbors. But here, but the Gemara is saying that these properties were not contiguous anyway. All right. What's up, Daniel? Let's go.
Not specify sell to one person. Obviously, you say one person, one means not 2, not 100. Where's the logic?
Why? Where's the obvious? That's the question.
Well, obvious? You don't say anything. If you say sell to one, obviously, I mean to one and not to anything else.
It says the form of speech.
Well, that's...
So then you would say sell it. You're not going to specify one. They specify. If the shlichut, they specify one. He mentioned that. Whatever the case might be. But once they said, now you come and change them.
Okay, it says, if you look at Rashi earlier, midway down the column, When he says one, maybe he means even two. People generally are not so machmir to have any self to. That's the way people speak. You have a copy to have a farish slave of Lushnaim. If he was machmir, he would say one, not two. But he didn't say that. That would be the time. Okay, I'm going to do one more Mishnah, and then that will be it for today. Okay? I'll comment in a minute. It's so good that everything is being recorded. Okay, now let's take a look back in the Mishnah. Okay, so the Mishnah says like this, my Ethan, you should know, I downloaded two shiurim today. I want to say to the rabbi, one had a shiur for 40 minutes on the staff, and the other was, I think, 50 minutes. So right now it's 46 minutes. So it's not so much different than the shiurim that I sort of recorded that were online. Yeah, well, I don't know exactly where the daf began or whatever, but that was also, okay, all right, now, all right, let's take a look. All right, that's a benefit, you get the presence. Okay, now, Manithin. Now, now, again, sometimes the Amana could sometimes sell property. Sometimes the Bezdin will sell property. When the Bezdin sells property, so typically they'll have an auction, a public auction, when they're selling property. But sometimes they won't have a public auction if they're seizing something. This is the way Rav Kahati said, let's say they're selling an Eved or Starot, so then they won't have an auction for those things. And then even if they're selling property, if they're selling it from a Zonos, they're not going to have an auction. They're just going to go ahead and do it. Who was saying again? Right. Oh, I don't remember. Okay, now, so the Gemara's mentioned the Manithin. Shuma Dayanim, let's say the Dayan, the Bezdin, makes an appraisal of a piece of property. Shapichatu Shtoro Hosifu Shtot. And then they underpriced it or overpriced it 1/6. Mechran Ba'el. So according to the Tanakhama, the sale is void. In other words, if it was a sixth or more, the sale is void. Rishulah says no, it is a valid sale. It's like that's the Koch of Bezdin. So he says, Aval, he must sue Igeret Bikoret Beinehen, but if they issued an Igeret Bikoret means like a star that says it's going to be a public sale. Because it means that the buyers can inspect the properties and things like that. A filu makru shavamana b'atayim, even if it was worth a mana, they overpriced it for 200. Or shavamatayim b'mana mechon kayam. That's considered like an above board sale, even though it involves some disparity between the value and the price. But then everything is copacetic with that. All right. Let me just.
1/6 is not okay.
Well, if it's 1/6 or greater, then the mechon is batel.
Yes.
Right, that's correct. Okay.
Yeah.
Right, that's 109. But then we said, like, when it comes to parkas, they don't know the park code. Okay, all right. Now, let's just do a story.
I think that, like, a piece of art or something.
Well, like, I think it was Barry. Tell me about that. Barry. Axis and Zono.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Okay, now, let me just do a story, and this will be it. Okay, this is from the Daf Yomi Digest, okay? So, the was a man who owned a fairly large and valuable piece of property. He was in need of some capital, so he decided to sell it. He found a willing buyer, but they didn't really know the exact value of the property, so the two agreed to bring in a very well-known appraiser to provide them with a fair sale price. That day was one of the most difficult days the appraiser had known. He was exceedingly preoccupied and came to the appraisal in a fog. He quickly fixed the price and left. The prospective buyer and owner of the property went to a lawyer's office and drew up a binding contract for the quoted price. Subsequently, the seller found out that the appraiser made a significant mistake in favor of the buyer. He confronted the appraiser about this, and the man apologized. He says profoundly, means like profusely. He says, however, this didn't help the seller, who wished to receive the true value of the property. When he told the buyer that the price should really have been much more, the new owner had a simple answer. Well, that's a pity, isn't it? too bad, so sad. Because I'll say there is no own on land, so I guess it's just your tough luck. Okay, that's the way that generally works in business. Now, the seller wasn't so easily convinced. They decided to take their question to Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita. I assume you got this from Kashuke Kamet. There's Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein writes these svarim on different mesechtot, and he has a sefer Kashuke Kamet. So I don't know. They don't quote the sources of the stories here. Okay, the Nesivus. So he says, Rabbi Zilberstein is speaking now. The Nesivus does write that if two people made a kinyan, a formal transaction to set up the price in accordance with the third person's evaluation, and the person evaluating made an error, there's no sale since the seller assumed that the appraisal was a professional valuation and it wasn't. In other words, they're doing a kinyan to establish that the appraisal will be binding. However, that doesn't apply here since there's no kinyan to follow the appraiser's valuation. Rav Zilberstein concluded, quote, however, the appraiser may very well have to pay the difference. So in other words, he's saying the sale's a sale, tough luck.
Why is it so expensive?
Because in other words, there's no one by Karkaot. You sold it and Gamarnu. He says, however, the appraiser may well have to pay the difference since he took money for his service. Perhaps that includes responsibility for such mistakes. So the appraiser may be on the line, but the buyer is not on the line for this. That's what the Gemara is taking it. Okay. All right. Let me just end the recording and then we'll talk in a second.